Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. As we began our study in our last broadcast to look at the parables of the Quran, we discovered so far that the parables of Muhammad is just a sentence without a story, a sentence without understanding, a sentence without a point. And that is a great evidence that Allah, Jibreel, and Muhammad do not have a clue what is a parable. And to prove our point, we'll move on with our study to these parables by looking at the rest of the parables of Quran chapter 2. For in Quran chapter 2, verse 171, we read the following. And the parable of those who became infidels is like he who shouts loud that which cannot be heard except a call and a cry. Deaf, dumb, blind, so they do not understand. Imagine me, that is a parable. And by the way, there is no such context between verse 271 and the previous and the following verses of that chapter. So it is a verse by itself. Somehow Allah is trying to help the Muslim believers in his words, the word of Allah in the Quran, to tell them who are the infidels. So he describes the infidels to be like someone who shouts aloud that which cannot be heard except a call and a cry. Now, what is that someone? You may think that Allah is talking about another human. No, my friend. That's not what Allah is talking about. He's talking about some animals like a donkey, a mule, a cow, making the sound of the animals. You may think I just made this up. No, my dear friend, that's exactly how the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari interpreted that parable. For in his interpretation, Al-Tabari quoted Ibn Abbas, the first cousin of Muhammad, to explain to us that what Allah meant by that caller is like the call of the camel or the donkey or a sheep. If you talk to them and you say, eat, they heard your voice, but they did not know what you are trying to tell them. Like that is the infidel. If you order him to do good, or if you forbid him from doing the evil, or if you preach to him, he does not understand what you say, except that he just hear your voice. What a wonderful way for Allah to describe the infidels. They are like animals. Yes, they can hear the Muslims when they talk to them about Islam, but they do not understand what they are saying. And by the way, the interpretation of Al-Tabari goes on and on and on with different opinions, because as always, the scholars of Islam disagree about most of the interpretations of the verses of the Quran. Let's move on to another verse where we learn about another parable in the Quran, and that is Quran chapter 2 and verse 261. For there we read, the parable of those who spend their money for the sake of Allah is like the parable of a grain which produces seven senabel. The word senabel is the word ears of corn, which is a non-Arabic word of Aramaic origin. And in each ear of corn, 100 grains. And Allah will multiply to whom he wills, and Allah is large knowing. Here is another parable of the Quran. First of all, when we talk about people who spend money for the sake of Allah, what do we mean by that? Maybe somebody will think, oh, these are just charitable people who love to help the poor and the needy. No. That's not true, my friends. For according to the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari, he said, those who give their money for those who perform jihad for the sake of Allah to help them against their enemies as they perform jihad against the enemy of Allah. Those who help those who perform jihad for the sake of Allah by spending money in their invasions. Imagine with me, with the language of today, if the Muslim of Iran give money to the people of Lebanon and Yemen and Gaza and West Bank to kill the Jews, that is what Allah is talking about. And for America to give the billions of dollars to Iran, that is America performing jihad against Israel. As we know from the Quran, that jihad has twofold. Jihad with money and jihad with life. Allah spoke about that throughout the Quran. Those who believe, these are Muslim believers, and immigrated, these are the ones who travel from one country to another to perform jihad for the sake of Allah with their money and with their life. You don't have to perform jihad physically by killing an infidel, but you can send some money to someone else who is willing to perform the physical jihad against the infidels. So where is the parable here? In Quran chapter 2 and verse 261, it's very simple. You give Allah a dollar, Allah will give it back to you $700. What do I mean by that? It's very simple. One seed would bring 7 ear corns, and each one of the ear corn will have 100 seed. So multiply 7 times 100, it is 700. Is this just my opinion? No. Once again, this is the interpretation of all Muslim scholars. For example, Al-Tabari said, Al-Sadi said, that parable of the seed, which will bring 7 ears of corn, and each will have 100 seeds, which means whatever you spend for the sake of Allah, you will have 700 like it. And we can also go on and on and on with the rest of the interpretation of Muslim scholars to come up with a similar conclusion. But where is the parable here? Where is the story which we learn from it? Anything. Asik Muhammad is just making sentences, encouraging his followers to give towards jihad. And somehow Muhammad was able to gather all the money he needed to perform jihad. But we do not have, once again, a true story with a lesson from which we learn messages or any information about what a parable usually is. Let's move on to another so-called parable, that is what is written in verses 264 and 265. For there are two parables, one after another. And here is what Allah said in the Quran. O you have believed, make not your alms void by reproaches and injury, like him who spends his money to be seen by people, and do not believe in Allah and in the last day. So his parable is like the parable of a rock with dirt on it, on which a heavy rain falls, but leaves it hard. No profit from their works will they be able to gain, and Allah does not guide the infidel people. As you see, we just read Quran chapter 2 and verse 246, and I do not see where is that parable Allah is talking about. But let us look again at the interpretation of so-called Muslim scholars. Al-Tabari interpreted Quran 2 verse 264 by saying, O you who have believed, believe Allah and His Messenger, so you will not make your alms void by reproaches and injury, as the infidelity of the infidel who spends their money to be seen by people. So he spent his money for everybody to see him. He spent his money so people would praise him, not because he wants the blessing of Allah, but simply that he will be praised by others. So people will say, he is generous, he is a good man, so they will honor him. But in the same time, they do not know what is inside him. They do not know his heart. They do not know that he is a hypocrite. For he does not believe Allah. He does not believe in the day of the hereafter. Al-Tabri interpreted by stating, meaning he does not believe in the oneness of Allah and that Allah is Lord. And Allah will raise the people after their death to reward them according to their work. For if he did his good deed for the sake of Allah, he will be rewarded. And Al-Tabari went on and on and on to talk about the hypocrites.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Now we get to the parable of Quran chapter 2 and verse 264. For in his interpretation, Al-Tabari stated that Allah gave that parable in the Quran to show us the works of the infidels on the day of the resurrection. What does Allah mean by that? He said, it is the water of the rain who washed a rock by removing all the dirt from it so you could not benefit from it. No plants, no tree, no vegetables would grow on the top of that rock because all the dirt was washed away by the rain. Wow, that is a parable? I don't understand how can Muslim believers can come up from that sentence with a parable. I believe Muhammad could not write one parable in the Quran because Muhammad never read any of the parables of the teachings of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ in the Bible. He is just making a poetry, and the poetry have a sentence, and in the sentence the word parable is mentioned, and that's it. To prove our point, let us look on the next verse. That is Quran chapter 2 and verse 265. For there we read, and the parable of those who spend their money seeking to please Allah, and for the establishing of their souls are like the parable of a garden on a hill on which the heavy rain falls and it yields its food double. So even if a heavy rain did not fall on it, so a dew, and Allah sees what you do. You see here the difference between the work of the infidels and the work of the believers? The work of the infidels is only like the hypocrite who want to be seen by others. But the believers do not do that. The believers work for the sake of Allah. The believers give for the sake of Allah. The believers will be rewarded in the day of judgment. First of all, we have to understand the ideology, the teaching of that verse is not biblically right. Because we do not go to heaven because of any good work we have done, but we go to heaven because of the work which Christ has done on our behalf on the cross. When Jesus died, he paid the penalty of our sin, which is death. And because he died and rose again, we receive forgiveness of our sins. So we will go to heaven not by work. So no one should boast like the hypocrites in previous verse, chapter 2, verse 264. But by grace we are saved through faith, not of work. So no one should boast. You see, the ideology in Islam that you do good work so you can get to heaven goes in the opposite of the true nature of God. Because even if we do lots of good work, what are we going to do with our sins? The punishment of our sins is eternity in hell, no matter how much good work we can do. Imagine with me if you stood up before a judge in a court of law and you bragged about yourself, about all the goodness of your heart and the great work you have done for the community, for the poor and for the needy. Will all this take away the penalty of death for committing a murder, or the punishment for robbing a bank, or for whatever sin you committed for which you are standing before the judge in a court of law? Of course not. No matter how much good you do, you are standing before a judge because of a crime you have committed. The punishment of the crime must be accomplished in you. That is exactly the problem we have with our sins. We're standing on the day of judgment before a holy and a righteous God who will not let sin go away without being punished. In the case of Christianity, Christ already paid for our sin. Therefore, if we believe in him, we're free from the punishment of our sin. But in Islam, there is no salvation in the cross. Jesus did not die. He never rose again. You're going to be standing before Allah to be paying for the penalty of your sin. No good work can remove you from hell. That's why Muslims believe they will go to hell. That is hell number one, for a little bit to pay for their sins. And then they will be removed from hell to paradise. Not like the rest of the non-Muslim believers who will go to the rest of the seven hells and they will never come out of it. But I'm sorry, I agree with Allah in the Quran that when sinful people die, they will go to hell. But I disagree with what Allah taught the Muslim in the Quran, that they will be taken out of hell. Why? Because hell, like heaven, it is a place for eternity. You go to hell for 1 second or for 1 minute, you will never get out of it, and you'll be there forever. So the idea of that parable of Quran chapter 2 and verse 265, in which that Muslim believers do good work, they are like what? Allah said they are like the parable of a garden. So even if a heavy rain did not fall on it, so a dew, and Allah sees what they do. Instead of a little bit dirt that was washed away by the rain, now we're talking about a garden with heavy rain, or even the dew will cause their vegetables, their trees, their plant to grow, and Allah will reward their work. Once again, I do not see a parable here. I do not see any story from which we can learn a lesson. All we have seen so far from these three verses and these three parables is seed, dirt, water, and a rock. Does this remind you of a true parable Jesus taught in the Bible? Let me give you the source from which Muhammad copied the Bible to make up the parable of verses 261 and 264 and 265. We're talking about seeds and different dirt. A little bit dirt on a rock or a good dirt in a garden and the multiplication of the seed. This is the parable of the seed, which our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ taught. In the book of Matthew chapter 13, beginning from verse 3, we read, "Then he, that is our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depths of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Obviously, that is a good example for what is a parable. Now, after people heard the parable, they left, and they never understood what Jesus meant by the parable. But later, the disciples of our Lord asked him, and he explained to them that parable, and they were able to benefit from the teachings of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we read the interpretation of this parable of our Lord in the Bible, we discover that seeds are the word of God, and people are the different soil. Some are good soil and some are bad soil. And the details of the interpretation of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, to that parable, it makes more sense than the entire word of Allah in the Quran. Not just the nonsensical parables, but the entire Quran. So now we know a true parable in the Bible. Muhammad inserted it in the Quran, and he made three parables out of it. That is Quran chapter 2, verse 261, and 264, and 265. But in reality, there was no parable there. It is simply Muhammad stole the idea, and he put it in few words without a parable. And that is the reality of the parables of the Quran. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.